Praise the Lord. Let's go to 3 John verse 2 once again. I've been here the last 2 weeks. More to share along this line. This is related to healing, but it's expanding over some other areas. But 3 John verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." It's the will of God that we would prosper and be in health. I'd share with you in some previous weeks about the fact that when Adam's sin, a curse came, and God spoke to Adam, or to, Satan first, that the curse upon him was eternal death, separation from God. And those who follow Satan, which Adam did, enter into that, where we're separated from God, and therefore we need a Savior. We need to be saved from our sin, delivered from evil, and made righteous once again, new creatures, born of His Spirit, receiving His Holy Spirit. And by the promise of the Holy Spirit, we can partake all things kingdom of God. Then also He spoke to Eve and said that there would be a sorrow in childbirth. And He really was speaking to a curse upon a human body, which would encompass sickness and so forth. And then He spoke to Adam, there would be a curse on the earth, and he would have to toil and work as far as his provision. And I believe that prior to that, Eden, fruit was just there. I had heard someone share, they went to heaven, like fruit just like fall right out of the tree into your hand. I mean, you didn't have to do anything, just put your hand out. And that always witnessed to me, because that's just how I perceive God to be. He just did that. But the toil man has relative to his material need is relative to the curse. So the old covenant was brought forth provision relative to 2/3 of the curse, where He spoke to them about healing for their body, about flourishing in childbirth. And then also He spoke to them promises relative to provision with their cattle, you know, the food they would grow and all of that. But the old covenant, what was lacking in it was that it did not provide for a spiritual blessing, because only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could the price be paid to remove sin. And that corresponds to the gift of righteousness, as it's called, where there's the remission of sin. And without the remission of sin, Spirit can't be sent to come in. The two promises unique to the new covenant is the gift of righteousness and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So in that gift of righteousness, there's the remission of sin. We're in right standing with God, which then can the Holy Spirit come in. That's why people just say a prayer and think they're saved or deceived. Because there has to be the repentance and remission of sin, which is by faith in the work of Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit can come into a clean vessel, which being your spirit. Now, your soul needs to still be saved, according to James chapter 1, but your spirit man's made new. It's a container of the Spirit of God. And until that happens, your spirit man can't receive the Spirit of God. So there's a lot of delusion in the body of Christ, and a great error people make in parenting is to lead their kids to say a prayer, think, oh, everything's okay now, because they might do it just to please you. They have to come to the understanding that there's sin in their own heart, and they want to be delivered from that, and then to whatever degree they're under the influence of Satan as well, and to come to the Savior. So this is very important. I've been repeating this a lot because it is a vastly misunderstood area in the body of Christ, even among people that are esteemed as teachers, because many will convey, like, well, the old covenant's like irrelevant. It's not to pay attention to. That's a lack of understanding completely. That covenant provided for the override over the curse relative to the human body and on the earth, but it could not deal with the spiritual need and blessing. And that clearly is brought out in the new covenant, and it's completely points to the blood of Jesus Christ, and his offering of himself completely magnifies and points to that. And that's the reason why in a new covenant, the old covenant things are not like overly repeated, because they didn't need to be. That's still in effect. It's still appropriated as we're walking by faith in obedience to him because we love him. It's still an appropriation to us. But in addition to that, there's all spiritual blessing, as it says in Ephesians 1:3, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, which as it speaks of the fruit of the Spirit, or what the Holy Spirit in us can produce, the very character and nature of God, love, joy, peace, etc. So we can access into all of that. So he's saying here, I wish above all things you would prosper and be in health, even as, or it's the word kata, also translated according to how your soul prospers. So we receive remission of sin, gift of righteousness. We receive the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit can minister to our soul, which is our mind, our will, emotions. And he's working to change our will, Philippians 2:12, to change our desires, to renew our mind, and to save our soul, okay, or to bring our soul in line with our spirit, who's received the Spirit of God himself. So it's according to the prosperity of your soul. Again, as we see that the source here is the Spirit of God working in your soul, that's the pattern and the source relative to the material realm, or the redemption from the curse relative to your body and to the curse on the earth, or our provisional need. So when we understand this, then we'll seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and the other things will be added. Or that which would prosper our soul becomes the priority, and then the outflow from that will affect you physically and materially. We should not first pursue health or first pursue wealth. You first pursue the truth and the wisdom of God. You pursue the prosperity of your soul, which will spill right over into the other areas. Many people, in a failure to understand this, they'll pursue health. It becomes even obsessive to them. Or just making money, spending, you know, how to save money, make money, increase money, 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 money. I think it's rather repulsive to the Spirit of God, to be honest with you. But it's out of our ignorance that we would do that. Because you are a natural man, woman, you're a human, natural man. And if we don't have spiritual understanding, the natural will dominate or take preeminence in your mind. We feel that every day. We're conscious of that need. But we need to be more aware of the spiritual need and our soul prospering, that we have the proper order to things. And that order is God first, allowing him to work in us. Then he can work out by his Spirit to all areas of our life. He says, "For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified that the truth is in me." Before I go any further, I want to say, I'm going to keep repeating what I've just said in my opening 10 minutes here. I'll repeat that every week. I'm fine repeating that every week, because till we get a hold of that, there's a lot of things that will not come into context for us. And there'll be these like fragmented pieces of understanding. Many people as Christians walk with fragmented knowledge and understanding. They have a bit and a piece of this and a bit and a piece of that, but they can't see the big picture. What put that all in perspective for me, I remember precisely the time in my life when the revelation of the full redemptive work of Christ came, then it could put everything into perspective. Prior to that, various things I was learning were fragments of knowledge. Well, I knew this about healing. I knew this about this and this about that. But it wasn't all put together. But when you see the redemptive work of Jesus and his ministry, then everything else fits into place relative to that. And I liken it to having a jigsaw puzzle where when it's put together, there's a picture. But prior to that, you have these pieces. And you have the pieces, and maybe a few of them are connected, like receive healing by faith or something like that. Well, faith and healing, that's connected, but you don't see the picture yet. But when you connect it together, then you see the picture. Oh, it's a picture, like we are out in the lab, we have a picture of the stream and forest and all of that. And I like that picture. That, to me, ministers peace. You see the big picture then. And if we don't see the picture of the work of God through the ministry of Jesus, having peace is a knowledge. And with that, then you have people, they'll know something about, like, well, God's word speaks of healing. Jesus healed. And they try to then pull pieces of knowledge, like, and become this mindset that, well, I'm looking for a promise, a piece of knowledge, a statement, a piece of knowledge. And they try to hang on everything on a piece of knowledge. And that will produce some fruit to a point. However, a person is vulnerable to confusion still until you see the whole picture. Then everything fits together. Where, for example, God provided for us, but it's by faith. We obey by faith. We obey because we love him. Obedience isn't this fragment of knowledge that then you relegate to works where it's not something you want to do. Well, that's old covenant work. No, you look at God made his will known, and it's in the doing of his will, the life of God's released. You can see the big picture. So to me, you should have noticed by now, I repeat some of those things a lot. Why is that? I'm not being not rambling, or I'm not, it's not that I don't know anything else to say. It's that that is that important, and it is vastly misunderstood. And you can acknowledge what I'm saying, but still not fully see it yet. So I continue to speak those things that in the abundance of our hearing, we can begin to see it and put it together. At that stage in my life, when I was, that revelation came to me. I was reading like Brother Kenyon's book, and his primary revelation was redemptive work. Christ's in every book he wrote. And you're reading that, and I'd read like one page 30 times in a row because you really had to meditate. You couldn't just read it like a novel or something. You had to read it, meditate, and read it, and look all the words up and make sure you understood what they meant and meditate upon it till it really gets into your spirit. But I was listening like Brother Hagin, Brother Copeland as well, and they shared various things that contributed to that revelation. So that the big picture of who Jesus is, what he did, why he came, is all vital. And then what happens when you see the big picture, other things you learn are not fragments of knowledge, but rather it all fits together and flows, and you really launch forth more so in your growth. So John says, I rejoice greatly, not just a little bit, when the brethren came and testified of the truth that's in thee, even as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, recently, someone shared with me something God had showed them from the word or truth that applied to them, their own life, that was liberating for them. You know, like really opened something up. And you all have your mountains to conquer. And that mountain's something in you. And a mountain is in the way of where you want to go. Okay, now, if you travel across western Pennsylvania, there's a couple tunnels that go through the mountains. Prior to that, you would have had to go up and down and up and down. And it makes for an arduous, longer trip. I appreciate the fact they cut a hole right through, and I forget the area, but you're going out to western PA, there's a couple holes in mountains that they cut through. And for us, we all have our mountain. When Jesus was speaking to the mountain, he's not talking about you're going to move earth, but rather that which is in the way. Now, for him, the mountain was that Pharisee spirit was opposing him, was a devil through the Pharisees opposing the work of God constantly. And the context when this comes out in Mark chapter 11, Matthew 21 is a reference back to the book of Zechariah chapter 4, where Jesus was quoting that from, speaking grace to the mountain or the power of God to that which is standing in the way. And it's not till you're enlightened to know that which is a major hindrance in your life. It's not till you know that can you really even deal with it. And it's not till we're seeking him we're even going to find those things out. And a person could have various struggles and not really understand why. Why is this such a struggle for me? And you have a sense in your heart, something's missing. Something I need to see. What's something relative to you? And the truth that would deliver you out from that. I know in my own life what those things were relative to being able to speak and to interact. And the Lord set me free from all that. And then there was like a launching forward. But see, you have to know that about you, not know that about somebody else. You know, what is it that would be in the way or a hindrance? And it could be relative to your life experience, something that happened to you or what wasn't provided to you, what wasn't taught to you. It could be a variety of things. It could just be your own personality type things in the way. That's why you don't want to justify personality. That's just how I am. Well, maybe you need to change. Is how I am in line with God or not? That's what we need to ask ourselves. Not justify and say, well, that's just how I am. Bless God. Blah, blah, blah. You know, well, you always have that mountain there. You always wonder why you're not laying hold of greater things in God. But as we're open in our heart to him revealing things to us, which is only as we're seeking him in a spirit of humility, then he can begin to reveal those things. And sometimes you can't reveal it till you understand certain other things that then you have the means to deal with it. So this person shared this with me. I was rejoicing in my heart, even though my verbal response may have seemed nonchalant. I was rejoicing greatly in my heart because I knew this person saw something that's going to set them free. And it's going to set them free far more than what they would ever realize at that moment. But then as you look back, you see, wow, that was a pivotal moment in my life. Here's something that was working in me that was a hindrance to the work of the Spirit of God. I couldn't see it. And there's times for me, I can see those things in people, but I can't just tell you that. Because you have to see some things on your own through the process of seeking the Lord. And there's many times I'm tempted to just want to tell somebody, brother, you need to consider this. And sometimes maybe I will, but just because you're aware of something, as a pastor, aware of something like it, you can't just tell people. Well, all you're doing is going around just telling people how they should be and not really helping them much. We continue to teach the word and pray for the work of the Holy Ghost to bring revelation and knowledge to each and every one. But it's on each and every one of us to seek him with all of our heart and put him first in our life. And then the revelation can begin to come to us. Well, when you're in the position of observation, you rejoice greatly because you know that truth, the thing they were enlightened to, you know, or in this case, I mean, I'm speaking for myself, I know this was a hindrance for them. I could see it before and maybe even plant certain little seeds, say certain things, but until it's really revealed to them, it's not going to change them. You just saying something to somebody, what they'll do, doesn't change anybody. In fact, it might bring condemnation. It might aggravate them towards you to receive later on. But for me, I'll approach things. I'll say thing as a seed and plant the seed. And sometimes it would be wise for people to come back and say, what did you mean? You said this. You just made this little statement. What did you mean? I find most times people don't do that. I don't get discouraged and stop doing it. I still do it and I wait. And I wait, and I wait. Sometimes people say, well, if you see anything in me, just tell me. Doesn't work like that. You've got to seek him. You've got to have ears to hear the Spirit of God saying, being preaching like this or in a one-to-one, to have ears to hear. And that will not be there beyond the fear of the Lord in your life where you are respecting and identifying the Spirit of God wanting to speak to you from the Bible, through preaching, through conversation, or however he's going to minister that to you. He can get through in different ways, The issue is, are we in a position to receive it? Are we desiring it? When we hear the word, are we going to despise that word of chastening, or are we going to receive it? The key component here is the attitude of our own heart. So we can limit ourselves. It speaks back in Psalm 78 that the children of Israel limited the Holy One of Israel because of their unbelief. We can limit God because of unbelief, or limit God because we don't really have ears to hear. We're lacking the humility or the desire to apply the truth to our life. If you're satisfied with where you're at, you're not going to press in for more. You won't. And we should have a satisfaction in Him, but always have, meanwhile, a desire for more of Him, or to be more fruitful. God's after more fruit in you. Well, I've been fruitful. Isn't that enough? Well, John 15 says He'll keep pruning you for more. Was God greedy? No, He desires fruit to be glorified through us. That's what He created us for. So He said, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. So as you share truth with anyone, you rejoice because of love. Love would cause you to rejoice when you see they get it. So that's one of the joys of in parenting, is that you rejoice when your kids, you see that they've laid hold of a truth that you are endeavoring to model to them, to teach them, to hear Spirit of God through others, and to grow, mature, and be fruitful. It is a wrong desire to just want your kids to be happy. Oh, I want them to have pleasure and be happy. That's wrong. You should want them to be fruitful for the glory of God. That's why all human beings exist. That's why your children exist. If you have younger children, is to be fruitful for the glory of God. But the error many people make, because they idolize their children, they want them to be happy. And then that's like bringing glory to mommy or daddy. I made them happy. Daddy, you made me happy. And there's a certain pleasure people get out of that. But that leads to then training the child to think that God exists to make them happy, instead of they exist to bring pleasure to God. According to Revelation 4:11, we exist for His pleasure, for His glory. That's why you're on the earth. So for ourselves, we need to continue to be changed and transformed into the image of Christ. We need to continue to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God and being fruitful for His glory. And when you embrace that, or to the degree you do embrace that, you will deal with your children accordingly. But so many, their children are like for their own pleasure, and people wouldn't even realize this per se. Very evident to me when people operate in this, because I understand it. But then you're going to actually unknowingly train them that, like, God, mommy and daddy and everybody else exists for your pleasure. And you doom them to destruction in relationships then. Because they'll look at that other person, that husband or wife to be in their life, as somebody to give them pleasure, rather than together we'll bring glory to God. And therefore we need to grow together and stay in a spirit of humility together, and let the Spirit of God keep changing us and be in faith for our growth and development together. So in parenting, you fabricate one or the other. But it all begins with your own view and attitude towards, well, what are children to be to you? Yes. They're not for your pleasure. They'll give you some pleasure. They'll give you a lot of grief, too. But they're for the glory of God. Every human being is. Yes. So then we approach it in that way. So I see that with John. I do need to remind you again, before I get into some new turf here, that he said, I rejoice in the truth I heard working you, which is according to, or even as you walk in the truth, according to the truth you're walking in. How do you know what truth you have in you? It's through the observation, evaluation of what you're walking in. If you're not walking in it, it's not properly in you yet. That's the conclusion we can draw. We need to know what's working in us. Sometimes there's some carnality, some flesh working in us, and you don't maybe notice it till it manifests out. Like you get angry or something like that and say, wow, didn't know that was in there. Well, it still was in there. But as you're walking in the truth, you'll know it's the truth working in you. Now, we don't have to be afraid then. When you understand this, you don't have to be afraid of the unknown in the future. Many people are plagued with that fear. If you have the truth in you, under the pressure, that's what's going to come out of you. I opened a new tube of toothpaste the other day, and I happened to be sort of holding, you know, holding on to the end, squeezing, and I had to peel the thing off the end of it, and a bunch squirted out, got on my t-shirt. You know, it's like, oh man, it's black t-shirt, and you got this white toothpaste on there. And it's like, well, that's what came out. I had enough pressure on there, and because the tube was full, there's some came out and it got on me. Well, if you're full of the Word of God and full of truth, and there's a little pressure put on you, don't worry about it. Don't worry about the unknown pressure tomorrow might bring. If you're full of the truth, that's what's going to squirt out there. It's going to go all over the place. Well, according to the truth working in you. Now, I want to build upon this further and go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to read through quite a few verses here. He said, "My son, forget not my law." Now, don't let that word trip you. Again, it's a great shame how there are many who speak disparagingly of the word law. Law was not meant for righteousness. That was by faith in the work of God and faith in the promise of God. But righteousness in terms of the ways of God, well, the law does tell us his ways. And as we walk in that, we're doing his will and the life and power of God's released. So don't forsake my law. Let your heart keep my commandments. Well, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak and you will act. So we need to keep the commandments, walking in obedience, and keep them in our heart where the tube gets squeezed. That's what squirts out. For length of days and long life, prosperity, okay, and peace they shall add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, or don't let go of it. Bind them about your neck and write them on the tables of your heart. Did you ever have that thing that you forget where you put it? Maybe for some of its car keys. Every now and then my wife can't find her phone, and she'll ask me to call her phone so we can listen for where it's at. And I'll jokingly, half serious, I don't know what I am, say, "You need to get a thing and hang out around your neck." About. And that's generally, it's not what she wants to hear, but because it's frustrating. But everybody probably has one of those things where where's the car keys? Well, I always put mine in this one place so I know where to find them. What do you do? I mean, sometimes you could, you're in a hurry, you lay something down. Well, I think that just pops into my mind as I read this. Bind it around your neck so you can't, where's that truth? You know, what was that truth I was supposed to, oh yeah, I need to forgive. Oh yeah, I need to walk in love. And if you have to, hang it around your neck. Okay. Now, in the old covenant, they had these hats, write the scripture on your hat. You remember it, write it on the doorpost. Refrigerator's a nice place for scriptures because you go there frequently. At least I do. That's a good place. And a lot of people will have scripture things in their house, maybe at the front door. You come in and just as a reminder. And that's all good. But what's even better, it's so much in your heart, you don't ever forget it because the Holy Spirit's constantly reminding you because you're interacting with him relative to the word. And it's just in you. It's good to use the outward helps, the things to help. You know, if I was Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6 man, going in a big city right now, I think I'd put, "Thou shalt not kill on my hat," or "Thou shalt not steal." So all the thieves in there be reminded of the truth if they have any conviction. Because maybe they just forget, you know, and they're just going to rob you. Of course, there are some who are completely void of the word of God, who have a hatred for the things of God, who are very submitted to the devil, who will purpose to do those things. But there's times, a lot of people, they're not purposing to do it, but it's because their mind's right not renewed, the word's not in their heart, and they end up in sin because it's still in their heart. Well, let not mercy or God's covenant love, that word mercy doesn't mean all, you know, poor puppy dog. And it's not that. It's not what, it's covenant love. It's love based on the commandment of God, just based on the covenant, which is based on his character. Hang on to that. Write it on your heart. So you'll find favor. We need favor with God and favor with people. You can be a great person, but if people find something they don't like about you, they can make life rough for you. You may have had that in a workplace or in various settings already. There's times we need favor. I thank God for favor. I believe for that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not half-hearted. Lean not your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path, or you'll prosper and be in health. But we need to acknowledge him in all of our ways and be in faith relative to that. So, for example, you're married. Well, that's one of your ways. That's one of the parts of your life. Are you acknowledging him or just doing what your daddy or mommy did? Or just doing how you think it ought to be? Well, you'll fail. You'll prosper if you find, how does God view this? Are you just being a parent like your mommy and daddy were parents? Or are you looking to the word of God in all your ways? As a father of, say, a 10-year-old or a 5-year-old, whatever, am I looking for, God, how should I father this son or daughter? How would you have me to do? Or are you just doing what you think? Are you looking to God for his ways relative to finance, or just doing your own thing the way you think? Are you just doing things relative to the health of your own body the way you think, or seeking the truth of God? God, your creator, you designed this body to work a certain way. I need to submit myself to the design of the creator. Lord, how does this work? What do I do? Give me wisdom. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And I find many times people will have certain areas they'll look to God, and other areas there's this keep off the grass sign. I remember at one Charlie Brown Snoopy thing where Snoopy kept encountering, like, no dogs allowed, keep off the grass, and all that kind of thing. And people have that with God many times, where they have a keep off the grass of my life. Lord, you're not allowed in this area. And many, many believers have that, where they won't hear anything about training their kids, or they don't want to hear anything about money, or they don't want to hear anything about what they think of their free time. Your life's not, you haven't even bought with a price, therefore glorify God, it says in Corinthians. Well, you think your free time's not your free time. All your time's his time. He owns you. He's your Lord. Or at least that's what you confessed when you accepted him. He's your Lord of all. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Not this pick and choose stuff, where we have to, the more we have pick and choose, the less we're going to have a him. So what happens, we're walking in our own understanding in certain ways, and maybe having God leading us in some others. We can't take one area where God's touched our life or blessing us and think that says everything's okay. Well, God blessed me over here. Many times people do that. Maybe they learn to walk in his ways financially and just think, well, I'm fine. Or maybe they have a good marriage. Well, I'm fine. And other areas of their life are a mess. Well, I'm fine. Maybe they serve the Lord in his in their gift of grace and think, well, I'm fine. And they'll justify everything and receive no input from the Spirit of God or no correction, that the full component of their life can continue to be governed by the Spirit of God. So we limit our own prosperity. We limit the prosperity of our own soul. But if we take a position of humility and faith and acknowledge him with every area of our life, he can begin directing us, and as we see, as we read on through here, to bring wisdom. He said he'll direct your path. He'll show you how to walk. When you understand and embrace this, you do not have to be afraid of stepping into a place you've not been before. Through your whole life, you should continue experiencing that. Now, it's not continuous, but there's times you enter into a new realm of walking in something, and it's a challenge to you. Because you don't have the wisdom of experience with that. But we don't have to be afraid of it. Many people, because they stumble and deal with some frustration, they never want any more challenge. Well, you've stopped your growth. You'll never grow anymore. And what's so sad to me as a pastor, I observe that with people. They stop. But they think they're okay because I've done this or I know this. We should want to keep growing for the glory of God, more fruit. No matter what your age is, you never just come to this place, well, I'm fine now. I've arrived. I'm a mature man. No, you keep growing for the glory of God. So I watch for stuff like that. Are we, as a person, continuing to seek the Lord? Are they continuing to receive from Him where God's showing me this and He's challenging me to rise to a higher level? He's challenging me to step into a greater realm of maturity and work for Him. Maybe I shouldn't use the word work because people have a connotation of just activity. But I'm referring to the walk, your ways, your walk with Him. He said, be not wise in your own eyes. Well, if you think you know how to do something, that's wise in your own eyes. Oh, I know. I remember it was a revelation to me in the teaching on training your children by the Ezos. They said that if you give choice to a young child before they're ready to have no choice and completely submit themselves, you train them to be wise in their own eyes. So that's why some people think they're doing right by their kids and letting them pick and decide all this stuff, and they're actually training them to be self-willed, wise in their own eyes, and they'll look to the Lord even less and exalt their own opinion even more. Then as they are teenagers or getting older, then people are scratching their heads wondering, what happened? Why are they like this? We trained them that way, letting them decide everything. We have to come to a place where we're willing to submit our will completely to the authority of God working in our life, to submit our will. And when we don't need to have our way and what we think, and we just completely yield to God, that's when you can take a greater responsibility with choice. But till you're willing to have no choice, you don't have a right to have a choice. Selah, you can think about that. Well, don't be wise in your own eyes. Now, back in Romans 1, as people were venturing into the hardness of heart, the seared conscience, the sexual perversion, the worshiping of creation rather than the Creator, he said they profess themselves to be wise and become fools. If you think you're smart, you're a fool. A lot of children are just little fools because they learn from a big fool. Say it, I will let that one go. It shall be health to their navel and marrow to your bones. Now here again, back to 3 John verse 2, I wish above all things you be in health and prosper and be in health. What's going to come according to the prosperity of the soul, which is where the wisdom of God comes in, where you know what to do. You know God's ways, His thoughts relative to any area of your life, and you begin to walk in it. It becomes so strong in you, that's what you walk according to, and then you know that's in you. Honor the Lord with your substance unto the first fruits, and you shall increase. That's talking about tithing. So your barns shall be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst forth with new wine. New wine's unfermented. Grape juice, by the way. Alcohol's fermented. That's poison. Selah, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, even as a father the son in whom He delights. God corrects you because He loves you. When we have a respect for Him as our Father, and we want to be pleasing, we want to, if we're actually acknowledging Him in our ways, part of the deal then is He's going to correct us where our ways are getting in the way of His ways. And if we don't have a greater respect for him and we're wise in our own eyes, we're not going to want to hear it. That's the nature of the flesh. We don't really want to hear it. We don't pay attention or want to listen. Some people refuse to hear correction because they're not fully established that God loves me. This is not him disliking you, hammering you, condemning you. It's his love. A loving parent corrects their child. Expect that correction to come. Learn to appreciate it. What do you want to do? Just keep going off the wrong direction till the car crashes? You know, it's the car, you know, your life and your journey. So welcome it. Happy is the man. You want to be happy? Find wisdom. Happy is the man that finds wisdom and a man that gets understanding. The merchandise or the value of it is more than silver and gold. Now, if you're rather preoccupied with money, silver, and gold, you don't understand the value of wisdom. I say it flat out. You don't understand it. Because when we understand that in the progression, the process of things, if we first prosper in our soul and acknowledge him by faith in all of our ways, he'll direct us. He'll show us how to walk out everything else. Everything else will come in line. And that's what Jesus is referring to when he said, seek first my kingdom, my righteousness, and the other things will be added. It's not like, okay, here, bip, you know, get this. No, here, you'll know how to walk with him and prosper. Now, I want you to see something here. She, pronouns are a big thing nowadays. She is more precious than rubies. In all things thou cannot compare to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and glory. So you see the redemption from the curse on the earth and the curse on the human body. It's going to be removed out of the wisdom of God from his word, the prosperity of our soul through the two covenants. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Happy is everyone that retaineth her. So the word her and she is used 9 times there. Now, when you think of the feminine, in fact, one of the pronoun things, of course, you don't call man or woman. That's all rebellion to God as creator. It's nothing but the spirit of rebellion through the spirit of Antichrist. So don't let yourself have somebody press that upon you. Well, you need to learn my pronoun. You're a woman. You're a man. As far as I'm going. But they call it a reproductive person. You're not a female woman anymore. According to the world, you're just a reproductive person. Well, they're speaking a little bit of truth. You see, in the feminine, you have the ability to reproduce, carry life, and bring forth life. And that's, you know, there's other places, things of God are in the masculine pronoun. God is a him. But here it's a her. And that's because wisdom. It's within wisdom there is the capacity for fruitful increase. That just jumped out at me this morning. It's fresh stuff for me. I don't think I ever said this before. So in the feminine use, it's the reproductive. The wisdom of God has the capacity to produce and reproduce. So as we understand this, we seek first the wisdom of God, aka the prosperity of our soul, which will translate over to every other aspect, whether it's your marriage, as a parent, your work, your health, whatever it might be. It'll flow right over because God will show you what to do and how to handle yourself or what his ways would be relative to it. And as long as we're thinking we know and we're smart and wise in our own eyes, we're not really going to hear him in that. And then later on, we wonder, why am I having a problem in this area of my life? And then people come up with their own thoughts, which just exasperate the whole problem. So there's great value, great virtue in the wisdom of God. She'll produce for you. We'll call wisdom a she. Wisdom's a he. God creating by his wisdom. But wisdom will produce. So therefore, she is more valuable to me than what I'm after to see produced. Selah. Think about that. The greater pursuit can't be what you're trying to attain. It's the wisdom of God which will produce that.